Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to Radio for Your Mind. Troy Dooley, your host today, and I tell you what, it seems like the days and the weeks just get better and better. You know what? Things are crazy. Things are happening. The world is chaotic, but yet I have this underbelly of good, this movement that is flowing that I know is working. People are passionate. People are getting excited. There's flags. There's patriotism. Worldwide, I think we see an uplift from the UK to here to even in the Mideast. You know, I just got a Facebook message from our pastor who's in the Mideast, and he's saying things are good over here, man. Things are great. So I think it's all in the perspective. It goes back to that old saying, you either see the glass half full or half empty. You know, life is grand. Let me make the announcement today. Yesterday was really, actually April 30th was the end of my contract with Ignite 360 as the Senior Vice President of Sales. They have gone in a different direction. I will be, at least right now, staying with the company. I'm gonna stay in sales, but will not be the SVP. They've eliminated basically the brand, the division, Ignite 360, that I was running. No more in network marketing. They've gone a different direction. But I love technology, love these guys, so we're going to still be hanging and doing some stuff with them for a bit, I think, as we move forward. We've worked through some details to make this happen, but I'm excited where the future's going and what's happening today. You know, and we're in Chapter 21 of Howard's book, Onward, How Starbucks Fought for Its Life Without Losing Its Soul. He titled this chapter, I Know This to Be True. The first three words, Gilhouse always says these are some of the hardest words to say. And he opens this chapter by saying, I am sorry. He said, I spoke these words slowly, more slowly than usual, to more than 1,000 Starbucks partners gathered in front of me. And I apologize if anyone in this room feels that we have fractured the culture and values of the company with what has happened over the last few weeks. Specifically yesterday, and he's talking about all the people that they had laid off at that time. They were in the ninth floor of the support center, and partners from around the globe had packed in here. He said this was a decision that we had to make, but we made it with compassion. I honestly believe Howard Schultz doesn't do anything without compassion. I am a little frustrated at him right now. Not him personally, but I went into Starbucks on Sunday, and I noticed that they had a limited edition Onward loyalty card, and I wanted one. I thought, oh, this is great. So I went up to the store manager, said, can I just buy one of those? And she said, oh, no, sir, Mr. Dooley, you got to buy the book. I said, all right. You know, that's the deal. And she said, well, I'm sorry, but, you know, had you bought the book here, we'd have given you the card, but since you didn't, I don't know what. I went over to my Starbucks Ideas and left a memo post over there saying, hey, I'd like an Onward card. And you know, I'm teasing, but I am a firm believer they should make those cards available. But as we look at this chapter, it was July 29th, 2008. Starbucks had eliminated 1,000 non-store positions, asking 550 people from throughout the organization to leave. 180 of those people have been in the greater Seattle area, the majority at the support center. See, during the growth period, they just kept bringing on people. And sometimes we do that. We get top-heavy. I know a couple years ago there was a couple companies that had merged, and somebody said, Troy, what do you think? And I said, I think they're top-heavy, and if they can't get their volume up in sales, they're going to implode on themselves. And it is good to know that that company went on and has created some really good stuff. But I want you to listen to what Howard has to say here. I think this shows how he walks his walk. He said, separated partners had a few hours to return to their desks, collect their things, download whatever information they needed from their computers, and say goodbye. If they chose to, they could come back over the weekend to collect the items instead. Now listen to this. We let our people manage their own exit without hovering security guards and provided outplacement assistance, an off-site place to go to learn about their benefit options and how to move forward. A new email account, as well as access to our employee assistant program, Severance packages and benefits were given to all who separated from the company, and they were fair based on the person's position and length of time. But still, I'd held private conversations in my office with several partners who were leaving, and afterwards I walked around the building and saw people were in tears hugging their coworkers goodbye. This, you know, it's funny how corporate America tries to tell you, oh, it's not personal, we're just letting you go. It's not personal, we're just letting you go. And here Schultz writes in this book, it is personal. It had to happen. There's no way around it. It sucks. But let's not pretend that it's not personal, folks. You know, I thought this chapter, it was ironic that this chapter came up as I got notified that my employment agreement, the 180 days, the company had decided not to pursue my contract. Because I understand business decisions. But yet underneath that is still personal. Whether like in my case, you weren't looking for a position when it came to you, or those that actually were looking and have been let go. It goes back to that verse. We can direct or we can plan, but God directs our path. See, this is the focus that we all have to take, and either we walk our walk or we don't. If you're in corporate America now and you say, Troy, I'm scared to freaking death. Okay, don't let that fear hinder your dreams, your passions. This may be the time that you need to create something of your own. And I'm not just talking about go out and start a direct selling organization or anything like that. I'm talking about what is it you have a passion to do? I love woodworking. I love leather craft. I just love working with my hands, period. So I've got some things that I do that most people don't realize. Those include making pins, wooden pins on lathes, building things. I just finished a couple, 3 weeks ago, I guess it's been a month and a half now, of building a gym in the backyard for the kids. Find something that you're passionate about. If you're worried about your job, and do it. Take your evenings, take your weekends, involve the family. Do whatever it takes. Do not let the fear paralyze you. Listen to what Howard writes here. This is not personal, we told our displaced partners. But of course, being laid off is personal for everyone. It was personal for the people who had made the decisions, for those who had delivered the news. It was personal for the people who had spent years helping build our brand and for those who had only recently joined the company. It was personal for hundreds of families who would undoubtedly be affected, for parents with mortgages, bills, and kids' birthdays coming up, for couples buying a house or just buying groceries, for men and women supporting themselves, paying off loans, assisting family members, and saving for retirement. And it was personal for the people who had counted on Starbucks for health insurance, child care, or whose dreams were fueled by their 401k account and company stocks. See, Howard knows how personal it is. See, the sad thing is in direct selling, for some reason we don't take it personal. Oh, well, that guy's a dud. He's just not doing anything. Well, she talks a good talk. She's a sexy gal, but she can't close for anything. Don't give them any time. They don't deserve it. We sound just like freaking corporate America most of the time. Instead of trying to figure out what the limiting beliefs are and breaking through them and helping them hit it to the next level. Moving it where it belongs. Taking it to where it can be a benefit to others. See, that's the key. That's the underlying everything we do. That should be the focus. If we're going to make something happen. Howard went on, and he was addressing, remember, the 1,000 partners. Here's what he said. I cannot put myself in their shoes. I can only tell you that I'm setting with this enormous responsibility to try and navigate through the most difficult economic conditions that Starbucks has ever faced, an economic situation that has deteriorated every month since January when I returned. See, Howard knew that he stood at the top of the helm. He was not the silver bullet. Just because Howard Schultz came back to the company did not change the fact that the company felt like it was hemorrhaging like crazy. Sad thing was, it just wasn't Starbucks. It was everybody. Starbucks is just a retail outlet. They just happened to be the ones that got hit. But you know what? I never stopped going to Starbucks. And I would sit there, and there'd be some of us that became friends, just chatting, realizing we were all in the same position. And it actually became a kind of a counseling office as we all would sit there and talk about the different things. And heck, we were going through even worse cases over the last 12 months with this thing, because not only did our economy suck, we're in Florida where the real estate bubble burst, tourism went down, fishing captains couldn't get people, and then we had a freaking oil spill. But we kept our optimism, just like Starbucks did. He went on and he addressed the people this way, and this is pretty powerful. He says, "This is a defining moment like no other in Starbucks Coffee Company. And moments like this are quite difficult and emotional, so let me specifically address yesterday. I never anticipated, nor was I emotionally prepared for, the discussions that led to asking passionate, talented, deserving partners to leave the company. I know people are angry and grieving, and I know people are mad. But I had to make a difficult choice and consider the long-term sustainability of the company. Our revenues and profits have got to be linked to a lower cost structure, or else we're going to find ourselves in a much worse situation. We have less customers in our store this month than we did last month, and less last month than the month before. We are not seeing new customers come into the store. The question is, how are we going to respond?" Folks, let me tell you something. My friend Richard Brook says, you know, the top distributors in direct selling are no different than corporate America. They're probably 2 weeks from being bankrupt because they do not plan. They do not cut costs. They increase their costs. Bigger houses, bigger cars, and fancier clothes. The whole lifestyle focus, and you guys know where I stand on that. It's not lifestyle. It's about life change. We all must look at that. See, the question is, since the companies that we represent are just the vehicles, that we're providing the fuel, the question is, what happens if the vehicle breaks down? What are you going to do if that vehicle that you're with breaks down, whether it's a direct selling company, whether it's your own business, whether it's a company you're working for? I'm not talking about having a plan B, per se. I'm talking about, do you have a plan, period? Most people don't. It's time to make a change in your life. I know this to be true. I thought this was a great title for this chapter. See, I love using books on our radio show. I wish more people would listen because they would understand the magnitude of the underlying truths. See, this book is about Starbucks, but it's about you and I. It's about our businesses. See, Starbucks had never been irresponsible with their spending. But perhaps during that time period when they were growing and they really did think their company was too good to fail, they didn't really focus on cost cutting. They just focused on growth. And the thing is, even what was going on at Seattle, this is where it all flows downhill. They were overspending at the support center, and so was every one of their stores. The actual supply chain organization was screwed up. It was kind of like a submarine that's got a leak and the pressure's building. If they didn't fix something soon, they were going to have issues. Now, they'd done a lot of good stuff. They'd brought in new technology and stuff like that. I mean, that was definitely a benefit. That was helping. But all of a sudden, the leadership team realized, you know what, we have got to cut some permanent dollars. We need to cut millions from the bottom line. Not just in closing stores, but we really do need to rearrange how we're what we're doing with people and how we're all going to be hiring and letting people go. And you know what? Howard made it very clear. The ultimate decision rested with me on how to do this. You know, Howard went through every person that was being laid off. He wanted to find out, was there a political reason? Was there a hidden agenda? He knew that he had to step up and take the brunt of it. He writes, in many cases, a partner had been a solid performer with a strong track record, but we simply could no longer afford them. In certain instances, I stepped in to make sure no politicizing or hidden agendas affected the decision, asking questions about why the person was being asked to leave. This is big. Listen to this. I recognized, and so did the leadership team, that slimming down the company would be brutal, absolutely brutal. And even as we did so, as compassionately as possible, our actions still seemed unfair. But the tragedy of doing nothing would have been far worse. I think back to Accelerate a little over a year ago when they had to leave direct selling. There are times when business decisions have to be made. People have to leave. People have to change what they're doing. Ignite 360 is a prime example. I honestly believe that in our situation, had we continued down the path we were going, had they given it more time, now this is just my opinion, we would have made this work. We had a great compensation plan that would have sustained itself. But I also understand that direct selling is it's a rough road to hoe. It takes several years of losses before you'll actually see a profit. And some people just can't do that. They're not willing to do that. They're not willing to take that risk. And I respect that. But what you have to do is realize that even on an individual basis, it's the same way. There are some people that just can't take that risk. You may be one of those. See, it's not that direct selling doesn't work for everyone. It could work for everyone. The deal is most people don't have that risk tolerance. They don't have what it takes. And that's not a negative. You know, most people don't finish a diet when they start it either. That's just human nature. But what you have to do is you've got to look deep inside yourself. You can't blame your company. Look deep inside yourself and say, what can I do to change? See, that's the key. Some of the ideas that passed over Howard's desk in order to make the company profitable fast was franchising. Franchising the kin, the cousin to network marketing. And here's what Howard said about Starbucks. If Starbucks ceded ownership of stores to hundreds of individuals, it would be harder for us to maintain the fundamental trust our stores had put into the company, which in turn fueled the trust and connection they established with customers. Franchising worked well for other companies, but would, I believe, create a very different organization by diluting our unique culture. I believe that he's correct. He had another one that somebody said, well, how much coffee do you roast? He said 400 million pounds a year. And they said, well, if you reduce the quality by 5%, no one would know, and you'd be able to save just a few million dollars there. Ethics plays into everything that we do. Others insisted that Howard canceled a big event coming up where they were going to praise 10,000 of their store, district, and regional managers. We watched what happened when Citigroup did that and Primerica's profits fell. Praise those in the field. Don't cut anything. Howard writes, at those recommendations and others, I did not blink. Every brand has inherent nuisances that if compromised, will eat away at the equity regardless of the short-term returns. As Starbucks navigated, we had to stay true to our values, reinvesting in and reconnecting with the things that had brought us success, not looking for quick fixes. I looked at these people and said, if I had a shadow of a doubt, I told the person who suggested we put Starbucks on the block, that was another one, just sell the company, that we would not return the glory of our company, the equity of the brand, the experiences in our stores, and the pride of our partners. See, Howard never had a second thought. He went on to the crowd that day and he said, I can see the light. I know what we have to do. We have to show up. We have to do the work. And doing the work means we have to find answers to tough problems. We have to be highly focused on the things that matter and stop wasting time and money on things that are irrelevant. What matters is that we push for answers for the problems in front of us and are curious about the things we do not see, and we look for ways to be better, smarter, more efficient, and push for reinnovation and initiation. This is a true test of the company, a true test of the individuals who assembled here. The reason we are going to succeed is that the same reason we succeeded in the past, not the stock price nor the press. We succeeded because of what we believed in and what we stand for. And I believe in the future of the company because I believe in you. See, Howard never came back saying, I'm the silver bullet. I'm the hero. I'm that, you know, white knight. He just knew he had the passion. If anybody was going to make it work, it was him. See, that's what you've got to do. See, the challenge is finding the right people, the right combination, the right experience, the right environment to make everything happen. And it's not easy, but it can work. Howard knew that it wasn't just cutting the bottom line. He was going to have to cut some of the top brass. There were people inside the company that did not believe in him, did not believe in the culture, and did not believe that Starbucks would ever get back to its glory days. One of his advisors said, Howard, start looking outside the company for talented folks that are willing to come in and help. He found Stephen Gillette. It was kind of funny because when he hired him, he was 32 years old. He was the youngest CIO, Chief Information Officer, of any Fortune 500 company. Some people question, can he really take what it... Does he really have what it takes to overhaul an antique technology system with some cutting-edge new stuff? Let me tell you, they kicked some butt. They did what it took. He had great honors. He'd been with Yahoo, CNET. He thought outside the box. They knew that they had to get the supply chain organization fixed, so he hired Peter Gibson. Very soft-spoken, but yet tough-minded. Peter recognized perhaps more than anyone else at Starbucks just how broke the distribution and logistical systems were. And when I tapped him to be executive VP of our global supply chain, an area of business I knew least about, I had confidence that Peter would act with informed decisiveness and professionalism. See, when you put somebody in the position of leadership... What you have to do, I dropped my phone. When you put them in the position of leadership, what you have to do is allow them the decisiveness and the professionalism to build it. See, sometimes you can be given a level or you can be given a title, and see, titles aren't worth a pot to pee in. It's not about the title. It's about the responsibility that goes with that title, the ability to make something happen. Sadly, sometimes people bring people into positions because they think they know what's going to happen, but they do not understand whatsoever. See, Howard knew, I don't know about this global supply chain. I'm going to bring in somebody that does. He knew it wasn't his strength, and he needed to bring somebody in and give them free rein to make it happen. They brought in Vivek Verma to lead public relations. You know, he'd been with Microsoft for 12 years, very smart, very wise. He knew that he could help put that final touches on the story. Cliff continued to build the teetering U.S. business, and Michelle Gass stayed on, actually came in full-time again. to manage the actual role of getting that transformational agenda moving forward. Many of his new partners he kept on. But beyond the top ones, he knew that they had to make some changes. He knew he needed to surround himself with strong talent who would bring new ideas with courage and challenge the old as well as challenge me. Wasn't looking for yes men. Wasn't going to try to change their minds. He was going to listen. He knew their expertise. And he gave them plenty of room to make it happen. That's what we all have to do. If you've got a leader on your team, let me take this down to the nitty-gritty. If you've got a leader on your team and they are itching to do something a little bit different because that's what they're good at and they know they can make that happen and they know they can increase the size of the team and the excitement, let them go for it. Why would you let your ego get in the way? That's not the key here. You got to move it forward. You got to let it go. You got to hold yourself accountable, just like you expect them to be held accountable. Listen to this. How it goes. Tomorrow I knew there would be headlines all over the world proclaiming that Starbucks had lost money for the first time in its history because we had reported a net loss of $6.7 million in the third quarter. No matter that it was a one-time cost associated in the transformation, it was still negative. A loss is still a loss, and when I thought about our thicket of challenges, both known and unknown, the word that came to mind was familiar and apt. It was onward. More than just a rallying cry or an attitude, onward seemed to connote the dual nature of how Starbucks had to do battle and do business in these increasing, complexing, uncertain times. You might want to write this down in our last couple of minutes. Onward implied optimism with eyes wide open, a never-ending journey that honored the past while reinventing the future. Onward meant fighting for not just the heart and hope, but also intelligence and operational rigor, constantly striving for balance, benevolence, and accountability. Onward was about forging ahead with steadfast belief in ourselves while putting customers' needs first and respecting the power of competition. Onward was about getting dirty but coming out clean, balancing our responsibility to shareholders with social conscience, juggling research and finances with instinct and humility. And onward described the fragile act of balancing by which Starbucks would survive our crucible and thrive beyond it. With heads held high but feet firmly planted in reality, this is how we could win. I knew this to be true. During all this, the following email had come in. Howard, from the tone of your voicemail, the assorted press reports, and the blogs, it sounds like you have many people voicing their concerns and disappointment to you around the business decisions that had to be made. I want you to know that you still have many partners who believe. I have been with Starbucks almost 11 years, and I know that to aspire and maintain greatness, difficult decisions must be made and sacrifices taken. I trust in the decisions that are being made to keep us on the right path. We will need to work harder than ever with great diligence and attention to the operation of our business to keep us moving forward. Thank you for all that you are doing to create a company that has given me my dream job. Even when some of the days are tough, they are overshadowed by all of the people that I have made a difference for and who have made a difference in me. We are a different company, one of the best to work for in the industry, and I have absolute faith and fantastic things are ahead. See, that's what we all have to strive. If you don't believe in your company, if you don't believe in the direction they're going, if you don't believe in the core values, if you don't believe in the leadership, I don't care what anybody tells you, you will not make it because you will never give 100% of your efforts. Just a human trait. Tomorrow we start Chapter 4, Hope, Truth, and Crisis. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow with me on Radio for Your Mind. Bye now.